It is May the 26th, and we are in Yirmiyahu. We are starting Parak Lamed Vav, chapter 36. It's a long parak. We're going to try to get through the entire thing this evening. Vayihi v'ashana ha-raviyas li-Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda. It was in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, the king of Yehuda. Haya hadavar hazeh el Yirmiyahu me'es Hashem lemor. This, the following thing, came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem. It's important to know that at this time, Yirmiyahu is imprisoned. We're going to see that this is going to be alluded to later, but he is in prison. Yirmiyahu spent much of the 11 years of Yehoyakim in prison. We saw last time that there was a lot of contention and he was almost killed and then he was saved, but ultimately he was locked up a lot of the time. And even in the reign, the 11 years of Tzidkiyahu, who was a tzaddik, we're going to find that he ended up spending a lot of time imprisoned, sometimes for his own safety. So we'll see about that. But he was in prison right now. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Kach lecha Megillas Sefer. Take for yourself a Megillas Sefer. In those days, there was no such thing as a book like we have, like a bound book. Everything was in a scroll on a piece of parchment. A Megillah means a rolled up scroll. V'chasavta eileha eis kol advarim asher dibarti eilecha, and you should write in it all of the things that I spoke to you. Al Yisrael v'al Yehuda v'al kol agoyim, about Yisrael and about Yehuda and about all the nations. Miyom dibarti eilecha mimei Yoshiyahu, from the days that I spoke to you in the days of Yoshiyahu, that I omaze until today. So you should write up everything that I spoke to you about. The book of Yirmiyahu that we are learning, of course, contains much of those nevuahs. Much of those prophecies are here. And he, Yirmiyahu, recorded much of what Hashem told him that to say. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, why should you write it down? Ulai Yishmu Beis Yehuda, maybe the house of Yehuda will listen. Eis kol hara ashanochi chashiv lasos lahem. They'll hear, they'll listen to all the evil that I plan to do to them. Leman yashuvu ish midarko hara, so each man will return from his evil ways. V'salachti la'avonam ulechatasam, and then I will forgive their sins if they return. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayikra Yirmiyahu es as Baruch ben Neria. So Yirmiyahu called to Baruch ben Neria. Vayichtov Baruch mipi Yirmiyahu, and Baruch wrote down from the word, from the mouth of Yirmiyahu, Eis kol divrei Hashem asher divrei lov, everything that Hashem spoke to him, al Megillas Sefer, on the Megillas Sefer, on this scroll. Baruch ben Neria, we've talked about this before, he was the primary student of Yirmiyahu. Baruch will, after Yirmiyahu's death, he will succeed Yirmiyahu as the chief Navi and the Galal Hadar. He will be the greatest Torah scholar and the head Navi after the death of Yirmiyahu. Currently, Yirmiyahu is the greatest Torah scholar and the greatest Navi. But Baruch will succeed him after Yirmiyahu's death. Baruch's primary student, who will in turn succeed him as the Galal Hadar and the greatest I don't know about Nevuah, but certainly the Gadol Hador, is going to be Ezra HaSofer. It goes from Yirmiyahu to Baruch ben Neria to Ezra HaSofer. That's the order of Rebbe to student to the next student. So here, Yirmiyahu calls to Baruch, and Baruch ben Neria is also a Sofer, he's a scribe, and he writes when Yirmiyahu tells him to write. Vayetzaveh Yirmiyahu as Baruch lemar. Yirmiyahu commanded Baruch, saying, Ani atzur, I am imprisoned, I'm locked up. Lo uchal lavo beis Hashem, I cannot come to the house of Hashem, I can't go to the beis HaMikdash, I'm locked up. Uvasata, you should come. Vikarasa v'amegila asher kasavta mipi, as divrei Hashem, and you should read from the scroll that you wrote from my word, the word of Hashem, be'aznei ha'am, in the ears of the people, beis Hashem, in the beis HaMikdash, b'yom tzom, on a fast day, which means you should proclaim a fast day. Everybody should be fasting, and while they're fasting, you will read this to them. And also in the ears of all the people of Yehuda who come from their cities, you will read what I dictated to you. During a fast day, it was common to get together, to daven together, and to ask Hashem for forgiveness. And so people would gather in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was a good time to get everybody's attention and to say something publicly. So he tells them, this is your job. You're going to read this to everybody in the Beis HaMikdash. Ulai tipol tchinasam lifnei Hashem. Maybe their supplications will fall before Hashem. V'yoshuvu ish midarko hara. And each man will return from their evil ways. Ki gadol ha'af v'hachema shadiber Hashem al hamazeh. Because it is great the anger that Hashem has spoken about this nation. So this is what you should do, and hopefully it will make an impression. People will improve. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayas Baruch ben Neriah kechola shetzivo Yirmiyo anavi. Baruch ben Neriah did everything that Yirmiyo told him. Likro vasefer divrei Hashem beis Hashem, to read from the scroll the word of Hashem in the house of Hashem. Now recall that this chapter begins, that this is in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. So Baruch, in that year, he writes this scroll and he reads it. But then, Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vayhi vashana hachamishis Yehoyakim ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda, and it was in the fifth year, so we're already in the next year, so Baruch has been trying to get this message out now for, I don't know if it's an entire year, but certainly at least the bulk of a year, he's been trying to get this message out. So it was in the fifth year, Bachodesh HaTeshi'i, in the ninth month. Now it's important to know that it was the ninth month. What is the ninth month? The ninth month is Kislev. Nisan Iyar Sivan, Tammuz of Elul, Tishrei Cheshvan, Kislev. Kislev is the ninth month. Why is that important to know? Because it was the winter time. That's why we have to know that it was the ninth month. We have to know this happened in the winter. That will be relevant later in the story. So it was in the fifth year, in the ninth month, Karut Som Lifnei Hashem, Kolam Yerushalayim. So the entire nation, they called another fast day. Now, this might not have been the second fast day. There may have been several. Baruch was trying to get this message out, but there's been at least two that they've done. One in the fourth year, one in the fifth year. Maybe there were several in between. V'chol ha'bayim me'ari Yehuda b'Yerushalayim, for all the nation that was in Yerushalayim, and all the nation that was coming from the cities of Yehuda to Yerushalayim, they all had this fast day, and now they're going to be reading from this scroll. V'yikra Baruch ba'sefer es divrei Yirmiyo beis Hashem, and again, Baruch read from the scroll the words of Yirmiyo in the house of Hashem. B'lishkas Gemaryahu ven Shafan ha'sofer, he read it in the chamber of Gemaryahu ven Shafan, who was a scribe. Bechotzer ha'elyon, in the upper courtyard, Pesach Shar Beis Hashem Hachadosh, which was outside the new gate of the house of Hashem, which means it was on the east side. Be'aznei kol ha'am, in the ears of all the nation. This reference to the person, Gemaryahu ben Shafan ha'sofer, and where it was exactly, I'm sure that those are significant. I don't have information to give you any more detail about that. Pasuk Yudal, verse 11. Vayishma Michoihu ben Gemaryahu ben Shafan es kol divrei Hashem me'al ha'sefer. So, Michoihu, the son of Gemaryahu ben Shafan, which is was his chamber they were reading it in. So he, the son, Michayu, he heard everything that was being read. Vayered Beis HaMelech Alishkas HaSofer. So he went down to the palace. The palace was located near the Beis HaMikdash. So he went down to the palace, to the chamber of the scribe of the king. V'neisham kol asarim yoshvim. And there all of the leaders, the cabinet members, were sitting. Elishama ha-sofer, there was Elishama the scribe, u-delayahu ben Shemayahu, and also this person, Delayahu ben Shemayahu, ve'al Nasan ben Achbor, that's another person, and also his father, u-gmaryahu ben Shafan, and also v'tzidkiyahu ben Chananyahu, also he was there, v'chol ha-sarim, all the officers, all the cabinet members. So he told them everything he heard. Baruch read from the scroll in front of the entire nation. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14. El Baruch. So all the all the leaders, the Sarim, they sent to Baruch, Es Yehudi ven Nisan Yahu ven Shelem Yahu ven Kushi. They sent a message in the hands of this person, Yehudi ven Nisan Yahu ven Shelem Yahu ven Kushi. Lamar saying, Hamigila shekaras avav yazni ha'am, that scroll that you read from it in the ears of the nation, kachen av yad chavaleich, take it in your hands and go. Vayikach baruch ben Neriyas hamigila v'yado, so he took the scribe in his hands, vayavo aleim, and he came to them. So they are asking him to come to where they are so that they can hear what it is that he is saying and they can hear it in person. Vayomor ilav, they said to him, shev na, sit now, ukra'en av yazneinu, and read it in our ears. Vayikar baruch v'yazneim, and baruch read it in their ears. Vayihi kishamam es kolad varem, and when they heard all the words, pachadu isha reyehu, each man became afraid. Vayomu lo baruch, they sent to baruch, hageid nagid la melech es kolad varem oila, we need to tell the king all these things. Now, bear in mind that these are not new prophecies. These are things that Yirmiyahu had already told everybody. They may have been reworded, but it was the same message. But as is often the case, first of all, the written word often has a stronger feel than the spoken word, even though Baruch is saying it, but he's reading it from a scroll that has a certain strength to it that might not have been there in just the words of Yirmiyahu. And second of all, it could be the atmosphere had changed. You know, this is another year. They had called a fast day. People had gathered together. Whatever it was, there was greater fear right now. Plus, in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, that is when Nebuchadnezzar came to power. So he was becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, and it was becoming more and more frightening. So it could be that also is what triggered this over here. Whatever it is, the people hearing it now have reacted in a very meaningful way. So they're saying, we need to tell the king about this. Pasuk Yizayim, verse 17. Ves Baruch Shalu Lamer. So they asked Baruch the following. Haged na lanu, tell us now, how did you write this, all these words from his mouth? In other words, they're asking him, how authentic is this copy that you have over here? You're claiming this is Yirmiyahu's word. When exactly did you get from him? What was the process? Pasuk Yudches, verse 18. This is a critical pasuk. Vayomalem Baruch, Baruch said to them, Mipiv yikra elai, from his mouth. He read to me, he called to me, he said it to me. Eis kol advarim o'ela, all these things. Vani kosev ala sefer badio. And I am writing on the scroll with ink. In other words, I wrote as he dictated. There was no break. He said a word, I wrote it down. He said another word, I wrote it down. I was writing as he spoke. That's very, very significant, because what he's saying is this is precisely the words of Yirmiyahu. This is not my paraphrasing. It's not my rendition. This is precisely the words of Yirmiyahu that I'm saying to you, which made it even more frightening, because it's the exact words of the Navi. It's not Baruch throwing in his own hyperbole. This is the real thing. Pasuk, now we're going to come back to this pasuk, pasuk Yudches. This pasuk 18, this verse 18 is a significant pasuk for a number of reasons that actually is relevant today in halacha. So we're going to get back to this mitzvah Hashem later on. Pasuk Yudches, verse 19. Vayomru ha'sarim el Baruch. So the officers said to Baruch. Now they know they have to go tell the king, but they also know the king is not going to be happy with what he's going to hear. So he says to Baruch, Leich hi saser ata v'Yirmiyahu. Go and hide, you and Yirmiyahu. V'ish al yeda efo atem. No one should know where you are. Now, that's
telling.
That's pretty, right. That's telling, right? But that's not such a simple thing for Yirmiyahu to do, because he's imprisoned. Now, I don't think he was in a cell, like a one-room cell. He may have been in an apartment. You know, he may have been imprisoned in a way just he couldn't leave. But it's hard to hide when you can't leave. But they're saying, go and hide. Now, how is Yirmiyahu going to pull this off? So we'll see later how he'll pull off getting hidden. He's not really going to pull it off. Hashem is going to pull it off. We'll see later. Pasuk Chav, verse 20. Vayavo el hamelech chatzera. So they came to the king to his chamber, to his courtyard. Ves hamegila hifkidu belishkas elishama sofer. They put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, he was the king's scribe. They didn't bring the scroll with them to the king, not until they had a chance to talk to the king. Vayagidu biaznei hamelech, and they spoke in the ears of the king, eskol advarim, everything that we just said. Vayishtach, so now the king wants to hear this scroll. Vayishtach hamelech es Yehudi, so the king sent the same person, Yehudi, lakachas es hamegillah, to get that scroll. So they felt that this would be more powerful if the king himself sent for the scroll rather than they brought it with them. Vayikacheha, he brought it, milishkas Elishama ha-sofer, from the chamber of Elishama the sofer, the scribe. Vayikraeha, Yehudi be'aznei hamelech, and Yehudi read it in the ears of the king, uv'aznei kol hasarim ha'omdi me'al hamelech, and also in the ears of all of the officers that were with the king. Now these may have been different officers, the ones who were the entourage of the king himself. Vamelech Yoshev beis ha-choref. The king was sitting in the winter room. The winter room is a common phrase. You find it in, of course, in scripture and Tanakh. You also find it in halacha. We're not used to the idea of a winter room because we have central heating in our homes. But before the age of central heating, there was a winter room, the room that was the warmest room in the house. And it was the winter room. They would insulate that room very, very well. And that's what people would, that's where they would hang out. That's where they would be for the winter. That's where they would stay, because that's where it was warm, and that's where they would be. So the king was in the Beis HaChoref, in this winter room. Bachodesh HaTshi, it was in the ninth month, like we said before. Ve'ez ha'och lefanov mivo ares. And the fire was in front of him burning. The word here, ha'och, that word ach is an unusual phrase, word, but it means the bonfire. That's what it means. So it was burning in front of him. Vayihi kikro Yehudi shalosh delasos ve'arba. And it was when Yehudi read three stanzas and a fourth. Now before we read the rest of this pasuk, let's explain for a moment. This scroll was written in stanzas. And the stanzas, there were many stanzas, and he read one, and the king Jehoiakim was okay with it. He read the second one, the king Jehoiakim was okay with it. He read the third one, the king Jehoiakim was okay with it. Then he read the fourth one. What happened? Yikra'eha b'sar ha-sofer. The king tore it with the razor of the scribe. Scribes would have sharp implements in order to, either scrape off the letters or to form the parchment. It wasn't paper. It wasn't manufactured that way. Right? They had a right. So they always had a sharp implement. So he used this razor of the scribe, and he tore it up. And he threw it into the fire that was in the bonfire. Again, ach here means like the hearth. That's where he threw it in. Atom kol ha-megillah al ha-ish asher al ha-ach, until the entire scroll was consumed on the fire that was there in the bonfire area. Velo fachadu, they were not afraid. Velo karu es bigdam, they did not tear their clothing. Hamelech v'chol avadav, the king and all the servants, v'hashomim es kol advarim ha'ele, who heard all these things. So the king burned up the scroll. V'gam el nasan u'delayahu u'gemaryahu, and also these people, el nasan, delayahu, u'gemaryahu, hifgiu v'amelech, they pleaded with the king, levilti srofes ha'megillah, not to burn the scroll. V'lo shama aleihem, and he did not listen to them. What is this scroll? What scroll is this? Chazal tell us this scroll is Megillas Eicha. Eicha was written by Yirmiyahu. This scroll that Baruch has been reading from, and that was now read before the king, and that he threw into the fire, was Megillas Eicha. But not the complete Megillas Eicha. Most of what we have today. Not all. We'll explain that in a moment. And he burned it in the fire. why did he burn it in the fire? So first of all, let's understand how is Megillas Eicha organized. This is going to be very important for the whole story. Megillas Eicha has five chapters. Our Megillas Eicha today has five chapters. The first chapter has 22 psukim, 22 verses. The second chapter has 22 verses. The fourth chapter has 22 psukim as well. So why would they have 22 each? What else has 22? The Aleph Beis. The Eicha is organized that the first pasuk of the first chapter starts with an Aleph, Eicha. The second pasuk starts with a Beis. The third pasuk starts with a Gimel, etc. Same is true for the second chapter. Same is true for the fourth chapter. The first, second, and fourth chapters all are 22 psukim, and they are arranged Aleph, Beis, Gimel, etc. So that's why it says he read the first three stanzas. It's a clear stanza because it's an Aleph, a Beis, and a Gimel. Why was the king okay with those stanzas? So that's because, as I'll read to you from the beginning of Eicha, the pasuk says in the beginning, the famous first pasuk of Eicha, Eicha yashva ba'dad ha'ir abasiyam, how could it be that this city dwells in solitude that used to be filled with people, referring to Yerushalayim, ha'isa ki'almana, it's become like a widow, rabasi va'goyim, used to be important among the nations, sarasi va'medinos, another word for important among the countries, ha'isa lamas, now has become one that has to pay tribute. This first pasuk does not say anything about the king. This city Yerushalayim is now in solitude, it's in a bad place. And Yoyakim said, okay, but I'm still the king. Pasuk Beis. Bacho Sivka Balaila, the city cries at night, Vidimasa Lechaya, its tears on its cheek. No one is consoling her from all those who love her. Koreeha Vagduva, all her friends have rebelled against her. Hayula Oyevim have become enemies. So we know these are emotional psukim. Those of you who can remember these psukim read on Tisha B'Av, it evokes emotion in us. It did not evoke any emotion in Yehoyakim, because his reaction was, okay, I'm still king. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Golso Yehuda me'oni umerov avoda. Yehuda has gone into Golos, has gone into exile because out of poverty and out of a great amount of work. He yashva ba'goyim, she has to dwell amongst the nations. Lo matzama noach, she has not found any rest. All of those who chased after her caught up with her between the straits. So, Yoyakim said, okay, but I'm still king. Yeah, we're taken into Galus, yeah, but I'm still in charge. So the first three psukim, he didn't react. But then came the fourth pasuk. Darchi et Zion avelos, mibli ba'i moed. So I made an error. The first four psukim he was okay with. It says they read three and four. The first four he was okay with. It's the fifth that got him upset. I apologize for that. So let me read that again here. The fourth pasuk, Darach Tzion Avelos. The paths of Tzion are now in mourning. Mibli Vayimoed, with nobody coming up to the holiday. Nobody coming to the Beis Hamikdash. All its gates are desolate. Kohaneha ne'enochim, its kohanim are groaning. Besuloseha nugos v'himar la, young ladies, young women are also groaning, are crying, and it's bitter for her. So again, Yoyakim said, but I'm still king. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Hayu tsareha lirosh. Her enemies have become in charge. When Yoyakim heard that, he said, that means I'm not king. And with that, he grabbed the scroll, cut it up, and threw it into the fire. It's bad that he threw it into the fire, but it's much worse than it appears. Why is it much worse than it appears? Because unlike Megillas Esther, Megillas Eicha has Hashem's name in it. which means he burned Hashem's name. He cut up Hashem's name and he burned Hashem's name. It is an Avera. One is not allowed, as we know, to erase or in any way defile Hashem's written name. That is true even in our printed books, our printed Sfarim, but it is especially true when Hashem's name is actually written by a scribe using the proper ink on the proper parchment. Those names are kadosh. They are sanctified. When a sofer, when a scribe writes a Sefer Torah or a mezuzah, anything that has Hashem's name, that, so whenever they write, they have to write with in mind that this is a holy work. But when they get to Hashem's name, they have to have specific intention that I am writing Hashem's name. Hashem's name has to have a specific intention and read and written absolutely with kedusha, with sanctity. So destroying it, burning it, cutting it up is a terrible avera. The Gemara tells us, the pasuk here in Chavdala 24 says, they were not afraid and they did not tear their clothing. Says the Gemara, we learn from here that if Chas v'Shalom, a person witnesses the deliberate destruction of Hashem's name from a Sefer Torah or from any kind of scroll, one is required to tear their clothing as if someone has died. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that one is required to tear their clothing. Actually, one has to tear their clothing twice. And the pasuk is telling us they were so bad, this group of people, the king and his entourage, that they didn't get afraid and they didn't tear their clothes. They didn't care. And that's why the three people who were doing the proper thing, Elnasan and Dolayahu and Gemaryahu, they supplicated, they pleaded with the king, don't do this. Don't burn it up. You don't have to like it, but don't burn it. But he didn't listen, and he burned it up. He burned up the scroll of Eicha. However, at this time, this scroll of Eicha only had the first and second and fourth chapters. It didn't have the third chapter. I don't know when the fifth chapter will be added. We'll talk about the fifth chapter in a moment, but of the first four chapters, it only had 1, 2, and 4. Now, obviously, they weren't numbered, right? They didn't know one was missing. It only had three chapters. Well, it is presently, today, the first, second, and fourth chapters. And he burned them up. Let us continue. Pasuk Chava, verse 26. Vayetzaveh HaMelech es Yerachmeel ben HaMelech. The king commanded Yerachmeel, his son, ves Sirayahu ben Azriel, and Sirayahu ben Azriel, ves Shelem Yahu ben Avdiel, it's another person, lakachas es Baruch HaSofer, to take Baruch the scribe, ves Yirmiyahu Anavi, and Yirmiyahu the prophet. He sent to go get them. Clearly the king is not planning on giving them an award, whether he's going to kill them or do something else to them, but he's clearly in a very bad mood. But the pasuk says, Vayasti Reim Hashem. Hashem hid them. Yirmiyahu really was in no position to hide himself. So Hashem hid Yirmiyahu and Baruch. They could not be found by the messengers of the king. Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27. And the word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu after the king had burned up the scroll and what the words in it. That Baruch had written from the mouth of Yirmiyahu, saying, in other words, this is what Hashem said, the following. Shuv kach lecha megillah acheres. Go and take for yourself another scroll. Write on it everything I said to you before. Asher hayu ala megillah rishon, that were in the first scroll. Asher saraf Yehoyakim melech Yehuda, that Yehoyakim the king of Yehuda burned up. You should rewrite it. It's not going to, burning it up is not going to help. We need to rewrite it. Val Yehoyakim melech Yehuda tomar, and about Yehoyakim the king of Yehuda you should say, Hashem, so says Hashem, Atasaraftas HaMegillah HaZos Lamar. You burned up this scroll saying, Madua Kasafta Aleha Lamar, why did you write in it saying, Bo Yavo Melech Bavel, V'yishchises Haaretz Hazos, that the king of Bavel will come and destroy this land, V'yishbis Mimena Adam Uvehema, and he will take from it, he will take captive from it, all the people and all the animals. So that's why you burned it up, because you didn't like what it said. Lachain Kamar Hashem, therefore so says Hashem, Al Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda, about Yehoyakim, the king of Yehuda. Lo Yelo Yoshev Akisei David, he will not have someone sitting on the throne of David. You, Yehoyakim, will not have anybody on the throne of David. And not only that, what about you, Yehoyakim? Finiv Lasot Yemush Leches, and his corpse will be thrown, Lachorev Bayom, to the heat of the day, for La Kerach Balaila, and for the cold at night. You will not be buried, you will die, you will be killed actually, and your corpse will be thrown on the road, and there, it will be laying there in the sun, and it will be laying there in the heat, in the cold. The truth is that although this says that he will not have anyone sitting on the throne, it does not mean he won't have anyone ever of his descendants, because the line of Mashiach still runs through Yehoyakim. It goes through, because his son, Yechaniah, who will be taken into Galus, he will be the first wave of exile, 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He is still going to be the heir to the throne, and then the line will continue through him. So when it says here that no one will sit on the throne, it means none of his children will end up on the throne, even though Yehoyakim will ascend the throne after the death of Yehoyakim. It'll only be for 3 months, and then he himself will be dragged into Galus, into exile. So this means there won't be any lasting kingship for any of your children. But there will be descendants later on, and Mashiach does come eventually through the line, because it is the line of David HaMelech, even though Yehoyakim is a bad apple. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31. Ufakadati Allah ve'alzaro ve'alavadav esavonam. And I will visit upon him, meaning Yehoyakim, and on his children, and on his servants, their sins. And I will bring upon them and upon the people who dwell in Yerushalayim and all the people of Yehuda, all the evil that I have spoken upon them, and they have not listened. And therefore, the pasuk tells us, Yirmiyahu took another scroll, and he gave it to Baruch ben Neriyahu, the scribe. Vayichtov aleha mipi Yirmiyahu, and he wrote on it from the mouth of Yirmiyahu, Eis kol divrei hasefer, all the words of the scroll, asher saraf Yehoyakim melech Yehuda ba'esh, that Yehoyakim the king of Yehuda had burned in fire, ve'od nosaf aleihem dvarim rabim kahima, and it was added on to them many words like them. He didn't just rewrite Megillas Eicha, he rewrote it and added on the same amount that was there before. Before, there were three chapters, each with 22 psukim, for a total of 66 psukim, 66 verses. Yirmiyahu added another chapter. And today, this is Perek Gimel, chapter 3 of Eicha. If you look in Eicha and you see how long the third chapter is, you will see it is 66 psukim, 66 verses, which is a very long chapter. Because what it says over here is that Yirmiyahu doubled the size of Eicha. Now, he didn't really double the size of it, because although the third chapter is 66 psukim, the size of each of the psukim is a third of the size of the psukim in the other chapters of Eicha. So the truth is that the third chapter of Eicha is no longer in words than each of the other three. It's got 66 psukim, but it's the same size as each of the chapters that only have 22 psukim. But he wrote it in short three psukim stanzas. And the way this chapter works is the first three psukim start with an aleph, The next three psukim start with a beis. The next three psukim start with a gimel, etc. So the first three aleph, beis, and gimel are aleph, aleph, aleph. And then psukim, dalet, hey, vav, 4, 5, and 6 are beis, beis, beis. And then 7, 8, 9 are gimel, 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 etc. And you'll look in Megillas Eicha, you'll see that's how it works. And they're very short. Because you have, it's again, it's three psukim that are the size of one pasuk. They're broken down into three parts, but it's aleph, 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 beis, beis, beis. So, where until, so there are therefore six aleph beises in Eicha. The first chapter has aleph, aleph through tav. The second chapter, aleph through tav. The third one has it three times, and then the fourth chapter has it again. That's what we have in Eicha. Now, the fifth chapter of Eicha also has, I believe it's also 22 psukim, but it is not in aleph beis order. So I don't know, yeah, it's 22 psukim, it's 22 verses as well, but it's not in aleph beis order. I don't know, how the fifth chapter came to be. Meaning I don't know when it was added in. It was added in, of course, by a prophet. It was written with prophecy, and it was most likely Yirmiyahu. I just don't know the story behind the fifth chapter. But that's the story behind the first four chapters of Eicha. So this year, Min Hashem, there shouldn't be a Tisha B'Av, but if we do have a Tisha B'Av, and you're looking in Eicha, so notice the Aleph Beis order, notice the first five Sukkim, and notice that the first four don't say anything about the king being deposed. And Yoyakim therefore handled the first four Sukkim, but then the fifth one, he lost it. Because it says that the others, the animals will be, enemies will be our heads. And notice the third chapter, and notice how it is different than the first, second, and fourth, but that it is three alephs, three beis, three gimels. There are those who have a custom that when they read Eicha, that you know that the Eicha trup, the Eicha tune, is a very mournful tune, as you are aware. We don't read other things that way. It's not a cheery tune. It's a very mournful tune. There are those who have a custom that the third chapter of Eicha is read in a different mournful tune. You may have been in a shul here in Beth Jacob. We don't do that. We read the third chapter of Eicha the same as the other chapters, which is also done in many places. But there are places that the third chapter has a special, unique mournful tune that is meant to the meter of it is meant to match the fact that it's shorter psukim and that each of the psukim is really one third of a larger pasuk. And that's the tune is meant to mimic that. So if you're ever in a shul, you hear the third chapter read a little differently. This is why. Because the third chapter really is a separate chapter that was added later by Yirmiyahu as a result of this incident over here.
So why is it put back between two and
three? Okay, that's a good question. The question is, why is it put back between the second and fourth? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why. We already learned before that the fourth chapter was the eulogy that Yirmiyahu said for Yoshiyahu, the king, the great tzaddik. So we know that. So I don't know why this was put between chapters 2 and 4. It's a good question. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra. Going back to Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. I want to say before we start over here, I'm sorry, verse Yud Ches 18, right. Before we go further, let me just say it as follows. This chapter is going to serve as our introduction to Eicha. And right now, this is the storyline that we've been reading about the reign of Jehoiakim. Starting next week in Mirtz Hashem, and I'll repeat this later, but starting next week, we're going to go back to where we were before and pick up the criticism of Yirmiyahu. And the reason why we're going to go back now is because where we were up to before begins the parts that are going to be directly about the 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av. And in order to make sure that we complete that, hopefully, by Tisha B'Av, which is going to include the Haftorah for Tisha B'Av, I want to begin that next week so that we'll be able to be fully prepared for that time. So here we have the story of Eicha. But now we're going to go back to the actual criticisms that Yirmiyahu says in the book of Yirmiyahu that dovetail with the book of Eicha. Okay, but here let's now get into this 18th pasuk of Vayomer Lahem Baruch. Baruch said to them in explaining what happened. Mipiv yikra Eli es kol advarim o'ele. From his mouth, he read to me all these words. Vanikosev ala sefer badyo, and I wrote in a scroll with ink. The Gemara wants to know, how do you write Megillas Esther? Megillas Eicha is what Yirmiyahu wrote over here, and Megillas Eicha is important. There is no mitzvah, neither from the Torah nor rabbinic, to read Megillas Eicha. You can go the entire year and not read Megillas Eicha, and you have not missed out on any mitzvah. It is our minhag, it is our custom to read Megillas Eicha on Tisha B'Av. And it's very appropriate, and we should. But it is not a mitzvah. Similarly, there is no mitzvah to read Megillas Rus. We read it on Shavuos, which is very appropriate, but there's no mitzvah to do it. It's a custom. There's no mitzvah to read Megillas Shir HaShirim, nor Koheles. There are five Megillos, and four of them, we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach, we read Koheles on Sukkos, but there is no mitzvah to read those four. The only one that there is a mitzvah to read, of course, is Megillas Esther. And we all know about that. We all know how much we have to make sure to hear it twice, once a night, once in the day of Purim. And we have to hear every word, and we're very careful with that mitzvah. But there's a requirement to hear it read. If there's a requirement to hear it read, then there's also specific rules for how it has to be written. Because anytime you have to hear something read from a text, there's going to be rules about that text, just like a Sefer Torah. There's rules how you write a Sefer Torah. There's going to be rules how a Megillas Esther needs to be written. We don't have rules for how the other Megillas have to be written because there's no mitzvah to read from them. But there are rules about how you write Megillas Esther. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Megillas Esther must be written on a scroll with ink. So the Gemara says, with a specific type of ink, with ink called Dio, which is a specific type of ink that is mentioned over here, and that the Gemara describes exactly what it is. You're familiar, it's a black ink. The main feature of that ink is that it's a nice ink, it writes well, but it does not embed itself into the parchment. You're able to scrape it off. It has to be a type of ink that can be scraped off. Unlike if you write with pen on paper, you can't scrape it off. It embeds itself into the paper. So the ink that is used to write a Sefer Torah and to write, Megillas Esther or Mezuzah or Tefillin, it's a black ink that sits on the surface of the parchment and can be scraped off. So, the Gemara says, how do you know that? How do you know that it needs to be that Megillas Esther needs to be a scroll with ink? And the Gemara says, using one of the methodologies that we know of, we're able to expound on the verses in Megillas Esther. The Gemara connects one of the psukim there in Megillas Esther, talks about writing Megillas Esther, with this pasuk over here. In Yirmiyahu, in Perek Lamavav, chapter 36, Pasuk Yuches, verse 18. And the Gemara says, just as we find that Baruch wrote Megillas Eicha on a scroll with ink, that teaches us that Megillas Esther needs to be written on a scroll with ink. That's one Gemara. Says another Gemara, when a scribe is writing a Sefer Torah, how should they write a Sefer Torah? Let's say a scribe is very, very well versed in the Psukim, which makes sense. I mean, he's a scribe. So does he just take out a scroll and start writing? Says the Gemara, no. He should write a Sefer Torah from another Sefer Torah. he should read Bereshis, and then he should write Bereshis. He should read the words in the first Sefer Torah and write it in the second Sefer Torah. Now, practically speaking, today it can be done from a book rather than a Sefer Torah, but it needs to be read from a text and then written in the new scroll. Says the Gemara, how do we know that? The Gemara says, oh, you know how we know that? From Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Vav, chapter 36, Pasuk Yuches, verse 18. Because Baruch says, the way I wrote Megillas Eicha was, I heard the words from Yirmiyahu and I wrote them down. I didn't write them later from memory. I wrote it as he was speaking. So this Pasuk here, which seems fairly, parav, this Pasuk becomes the source for how we write a Megillas Esther, and it also becomes the source for how a scribe is supposed to write in general, including a Sefer Torah. So it therefore comes out that the source for some significant laws of writing even a Sefer Torah, but certainly Megillas Esther, comes from Megillas Eicha. Meaning the way that Hashem chose to teach us how to write a Megillas Esther, and even how to write a Sefer Torah, is through the original writing of Megillas Eicha. Which is a fascinating idea. That this should be, Hashem could have hinted to this anywhere, but he chose to hint to it in Yirmiyahu regarding Megillas Eicha. Which brings out a lot that we need to really hit home with. The king tore up and burned Megillas Eicha. And Hashem therefore had Yirmiyahu rewrite it. Now, what else was destroyed and needed to be rewritten? Someone has to get this.
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. The Luchos. The Luchos. The tablets were broken and had to be remade. So we have a precedent of something being, something very important and very, very kadosh, very sanctified, being destroyed and having to be redone. Megillas Eicha likewise was destroyed and had to be redone. But it was redone double, more. It wasn't the same thing again. Now Torah can't be double because Torah is the word of Hashem directly, and it is what it is. So it can't. The Torah is not going to be redone in that way. It's just going to be remade, but it's not going to be added to. But Megillas Eicha is added to. Simply, that's going to be because now that Yehoyakim did this horrific act, he made things worse. Eicha is all about destruction and terrible things. Well, you think you can just destroy it? It's only going to be worse. Right? You think you can't run from it. You can't put your head in the sand. You can't try to tear it up. It's only going to be worse. And so it gets actually doubled in scope because of what he did. And that, of course, is the frightening part of it. But there's another aspect to it, and that is that we know that as much as we are reading all about destruction and warnings and terrible things, we also know that ultimately Hashem loves us, even when he's punishing us. And Hashem is not interested in destroying us, but Hashem has deemed it that it is necessary in certain situations that the love be tough love. Obviously, he decides when it's tough love and when it's not. But clearly, in the time of Yirmiyahu, and actually in our day as well, this has been his decision. Baruch Hashem, in our day, there's many, many examples of where the love is not tough love, where there's clear and obvious love coming from Hashem in a very loving way. But at the same time, we are still in Golus, we are still in exile, and we also suffer, things happen. And sometimes Hashem decides that that's the way, that's going to be the best thing for us, even if it's hard for us to understand it and it's hard for us to accept it. But sometimes Hashem decides this is the way, this is what's going to ultimately make us better in the long run. Megillas Eicha, which is the scroll that represents destruction and galus, exile, it is also meant to be the blueprint to get us out of that predicament. That by understanding what we did wrong, by realizing how much we have, so to speak, saddened Hashem, kiviyachol, so to speak, by realizing that we are estranged from our Father, that is to bring us back. That's ultimately what it's for. And when Jehoiakim behaved in this manner and the words did not have any effect on him whatsoever, and he tore it up and threw it in the fire, Hashem says, we have to double it. We need more. Because it's got to make an impression. For my children to suffer and go into exile, for just to suffer, that's pointless. What's the point in that? The only reason for my children to suffer and go into exile is so that they will ultimately get the message and come back to me. That's not going to happen if they're burning it up and throwing it in the fire. So we need to double it. The message has to get out there. Why this is happening, so that my children will improve and do better. Eicha becomes, therefore, really the Pesach. It becomes the entryway back to Hashem. It's like when you hit rock bottom and the only way to go is up. That's what Eicha is meant to be. And therefore, Eicha becomes the source for how you write Megillas Esther. If there are any two books in scripture that are diametrically opposed to each other, that are the antithesis of each other, it would be Megillas Eicha and Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is all about how we return to Hashem, and how the destruction did not happen, and how not only that, it was a Vanahavach who turned over. And in the end, we ended up not only not being destroyed, we ended up with this beautiful holiday of coming back to Hashem. Kimu v'kiblu, we re-accepted the Torah in joy, and we celebrated in joy, all wonderful things because of Purim. Just the opposite of Megillas Eicha. But it's not really the opposite. One is the Pesach to the other. One is the entryway to the other. It is through Megillas Eicha that we achieve Megillas Esther. That's the point that is being made over here. And Megillas Eicha becomes the source even for how a scribe is meant to write, even a Sefer Torah itself, the centrality of Megillas Eicha, of what it is in our lives. It's not something to try to gloss over and ignore. It's something to focus on at the time that's appropriate to focus on it. Obviously, we don't read Megillas Eicha on Purim. That's not the time to read Megillas Eicha. But on Tisha B'Av, that is the time to read Megillas Eicha. And we are meant to focus on it and to grow from it, and to therefore be able to end up with a geula, with a redemption, with Purim. And that is the idea of connecting those two significant megillos. One of my mentors in yeshiva once commented to me that he once, I don't know if he read this or heard this, that very often, I mean, he said this is always the case, that if a person experiences a very meaningful Tisha B'Av, then they are, he said always, but I would say very likely, to end up with a very meaningful Yom Kippur. A Tisha B'Av often segues into the Yom Noraim, into the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And here we see the connection between Eicha and Purim, between Eicha and Esther. And that is being brought out by this statement of Baruch, that he heard the words and he wrote them in a scroll with dio, with ink, and he heard them from Yirmiyahu and wrote them down. We have a couple more minutes. I just would like to give a little bit more of an introduction for what's going to happen over the next few weeks. Let me just pause. If anybody has questions on what we just read and said.
I have a question that, so it seems like you said that they are diametrically opposed, Megillas Esther and Megillas Echa. But it's so interesting that, so you mentioned before that Hashem's name is not in Esther, and it's so in Echa. And Echa is more like the patch, sort of, and Esther is, I know, it comes, hopefully the good comes from Echa also, eventually. But that, and then that's where Hashem's name is in Echa, but it's not in Esther. How do you connect that? Any ideas?
That's a good question. Why is the name of Hashem in Echa, not in Esther? I would answer an answer that does not directly relate to what we said tonight. What I would say is the Gemara says the reason why Hashem's name is not in Esther is because it was a time of Hester upon him. It was a time of Hashem's face being hidden. Esther takes place once we are already in Galus. We are in exile. So therefore Hashem's name is not used. Megillas Echa is written while we are still in Eretz Yisrael. The Galus has not yet happened. So even though it is pending or impending, but it hasn't happened yet. So I imagine that would mean that Hashem's name would be there because it was written at a time when it was not yet Hester upon him. It was still a time of Gilui upon him when Hashem was still revealed to us, so to speak. But we had a Navi. We had Yirmiyahu, who was still with us at that time.
I wonder if maybe Hashem's name has to be more obvious that tough love is really from Hashem.
Okay.
Or the way not so obvious. Okay, you have to open your eyes to see that the Hester upon him is really from Hashem. But the tough love, okay, this is really bad and really hard, and this is what Hashem, return Hashem. I wonder.
That's a nice answer. That's a very nice answer. Yes?
So we learn in Echa how to write a Sefer Torah. Certainly Sefer Torah had been
okay,
more
good.
Than this.
So. Okay. The question is, we're learning here how to write a Sefer Torah, but obviously there were many Sefer Torah written well before this Pasuk was written. That's a very good point. The Gemara says you can't learn a new halacha from Navi. All rules, all halacha has to come from the Torah, not from Navi. When we have things that we learn from Navi, it's not that the Navi is teaching us something new. It's that we who are living in a time period after maybe hundreds or even thousands of years later, the way that we are aware of what the practice was from what Baruch did here with Yirmiyahu. That's not to say that this was originated here.
Right.
It was something that had been going on since the Torah was given, but nowhere is it hinted to, and here, Baruch isn't saying this in order to teach us the lesson. Baruch is saying it because he's answering the question, but the reason why Hashem had it written down in the book of Yirmiyahu was so that we would see this is the common practice. But you're right, it's not a new law that we're learning over here. It's a good point. Yeah. So, starting next week, we're going to go back to where we were towards the beginning of Yirmiyahu, which is Perek Zayin, chapter 7. Now, our goal is going to be to finish Zayin, Ches, and Tes, 7, 8, and 9, in time for Tisha B'Av. That's going to be our goal, and that's going to include the Haftorah for the day of Tisha B'Av, which starts in the middle of the 8th chapter and goes into the 9th chapter. So that's going to be our goal. 7, 8, 9, that's going to be our goal. It's not going to be as simple as it seems, because even though it seems like we have a lot of time, I am going to miss at least 2 and maybe even 3 weeks in this next, not right away, but I will be missing time later on. So that's why I want to start this next week and get as much as we can done of these chapters and hopefully finish them all before Tisha B'Av. That's going to be our goal. And I will let you know my schedule as it becomes a little bit more clear later on. We have a few more weeks before I'm going to miss any time. So I will keep you posted on that. I'll include it in the email once everything is settled about the weeks I'm going to miss.